Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Sam in the Morning with Jen, only on LA Talk Radio.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the show. Today is Monday, April 19th.
Wow.
I'm here with Jen, as we are three times a week here.
Yes, we are.
And hopefully we can go to daily when we get back to the studio, you know?
I know, right?
I don't know, yeah, but I kind of miss doing it every day, you know?
Yeah.
But,
something to do.
Yeah, you know, with all this fucking boredom out there, man.
Yeah.
You know, but I'm looking forward to actually working hard, you know, and get back to business, you know.
Some daily routine.
Yeah.
Some life back in
I'm
the picture.
Telling you, you know, I mean, the weekends are like really, they've been really like quiet and lonely, you know. I mean, everybody's doing their own fucking thing, you know. Nobody's got time for you.
What are the dating sites like for you lately?
Not very good.
Not very good. Just that one woman who was in no-show.
Who flaked, yeah.
Yeah.
But that's about it. Yeah, nothing's happening. Not a fucking thing, man. I can't believe it, you know. And I committed to eHarmony for like 6 months or something. Because they don't give you anything less now.
Okay, that's lame.
Motherfuckers, you know, right?
You should write them and be like, this isn't working.
Yeah, yeah, let's tie them down for 6 months because we know it's not going to work for them.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll tie them down for half a year, you know?
Yeah, right.
And me like a fool, you know, when you get kind of desperate, you know? You go, well, where am I going to find anybody, you know?
I mean, maybe you get to like month 4 or 5 and like magic starts to happen.
That's what I thought. I thought, well, all I need is one, you know? So maybe somebody's going to show up on the fourth month or something,
yeah,
you know?
It's a long game, I guess.
I guess, you know?
Yeah.
But, you know, you spend time, you know, so a few days go by, I don't do anything with it.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'm like, okay, so there's some new people. Most of them don't even have a picture.
Ugh.
You know?
That's the worst.
Right? I mean,
just
who's going to even pick
they
up
should,
anybody?
They should have people monitoring the sites.
Right.
And anyone who doesn't have a photo of them up should be, their account should be suspended.
Right. You know, give them a day or two to come up with a picture if you have to, you know, but come on, you know? No, I mean, because look, when you first do your profile, you're not ready for it yet.
Should be the first thing
you
put up.
Yeah.
If you're not ready for it, you shouldn't be making an online dating profile.
Right.
You know, that's the first thing you should do is put up a photo.
Right, exactly. But
you know,
people
that's
are,
what the game is.
Yeah, so that's why I'm thinking maybe a lot of them are just fake, you know?
Yeah, probably.
And I think because I don't even get one response, you know? I mean, what is this?
It's so lame on there.
Yeah, you know? I mean, I've been on it for what, a month maybe?
Yeah.
Not one fucking response. And I write some people, you know?
Yeah.
So you have to start asking, well, what's wrong with me? But everybody asks the same fucking thing.
Everybody,
know?
Yeah, totally.
You know, so it sucks, but, you know, but you got to keep trying. You can't give up, you know?
I can't?
No. I'm telling that to myself. I'm just thinking out loud.
I'm like, I can't. I want to... I'm on Bumble here and there. Thank God the responses are just the worst. It's just like a bunch of guys holding up fish pictures, like a fish that they caught. Like every guy profile is the same.
Everybody's a fisherman.
Yeah, totally. And I always like try and ask because on Bumble you match and then it's the woman's responsibility to send the message.
Right.
So I always like try and come up with like a fun question. So I'll be like, "What was the highlight of your week?" And it's like, I always know who not to pick, and it's whoever says matching with you. And I'm always like, yeah, no. Nope.
It's like you can't figure out what's good to say and what's not good to say. You know, people criticize everything you say, you know.
Yeah.
So it's like, it's all a bunch of bullshit, man.
Yeah.
Why do we even waste our time, you know?
And also when guys are like, oh, you're a filmmaker, what kind of films do you make? And I'm like, do you know me from anything that you've seen? Probably not. So that means like anything I can book.
Well, you can explain it to them, you know. You can.
I know, but it just gets so old because like everyone who works in film already knows. You know, everyone who works in film who's not well known knows that you just book what you can, you know, until you get to a point where you can start being particular about.
Okay, but not everybody's in film, you know, so what? So you're not going to date anybody who's not in film.
I guess.
That's pretty funny.
If they say, what kind of films do you like to make? That's different than what kind of films do you make? I'm like, literally anything.
Yeah. Well, you can tell them that.
I have, but it just gets old when it's the same questions over and over.
I know. Well, that's one thing you have to do is do it over and over again until.
And also, you're dating in LA. Don't you know that already? Right, don't you match with filmmakers all the time? I match with filmmakers all the time.
That'll match with anybody, Jen.
It's the worst out there. You got to get off that app. It's like maybe too old school. Get on the more fun apps.
Oh, believe me, I've got all of them.
Yeah.
Nothing
they
works.
All suck though.
Nothing works, yeah. Man.
It's the worst.
Yeah. I mean, I'm telling you, as I get older, I'm feeling more and more transparent and invisible. I really do, you know?
Yeah.
And because, you know, like, you know, when we went on the vacation last week, there's no like single women, you know, or anything, you know.
Mm.
And at my age, you know, most people have somebody, and if they don't, you have to wonder why they don't, right? Like me. But no, really, I mean, the thing is that there's not a lot of selection when you're my age. So now you understand when people tell you when you're younger, find somebody to grow older with.
I guess.
They know what they're talking about. 50%
of marriage ends in divorce, so.
That's true, but you might be able to get lucky and it's not going to end in divorce, you know.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm a skeptic.
Yeah. I don't think at this age there's a lot of divorce, you know. By now people are like, fuck it, where am I going to find anybody, you know.
That sucks, too. So they just stay
in, they just stay in whatever they have, you know.
That sucks.
It really does suck, Jenna.
Yeah, I don't want anyone to just like stay because they're like, oh, I guess this is it.
Yeah.
I don't want that.
No, enjoy your age. You're at the prime of your life, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. So stay on the apps. Maybe you'll find something.
Yeah.
Your chances are much higher.
I'm like, meh. So
in a few minutes, we're going to have a filmmaker calling in.
Oh,
yeah. You get a lot of those, and we'll see. He made a scary movie, man. I saw the trailer. You know, a lot of people are, you
know. So, all right. I like
horror. Slasher movies, you know.
Yeah, great.
You like that?
Yeah.
Yeah, why not?
Yeah, why not?
Let's watch all the violence.
Yeah.
I can get into it.
Every genre has its charm.
That's true, right?
You know?
Yeah. Did I tell you I started watching a series called Debris?
No.
It's pretty good. It's on NBC, which means it's on Hulu, and it's a series. And apparently they're saying that there's debris falling from the sky of like some kind of alien spaceship or something, right?
Oh.
So it's like it happens in different parts of the world, and then all kinds of weird things happen. So I kind of like it, you know. It's not bad. You know, I watched about 1.5 episodes. And it's pretty cool, you know, not bad.
And what channel is it on?
NBC.
NBC.
Right.
Okay. It's called Debris.
Debris.
Hmm.
And so I'm hoping maybe I found a good show after all, you know.
Yeah.
Because I can't stick with shows, you know. I mean, it's just like even movies, you know.
I know.
Not even talking about series.
I've had a lot of ants in my pants lately. But yeah, Handmaid's Tale season 4... So they put out one season every year until 2019. They haven't put out season 4 since 2019. And everyone's been like itching for Handmaid's Tale. And finally it's coming out at the end of this month and I can't wait.
Oh, wow.
I'm going to get my vaccine. It comes out, I think, on the 26th. I'm getting my vaccine on the 27th and I'm just going to hang out in bed, watch the whole entire season 4. I can't wait.
Do you still remember how it ended, season 3?
I think so, yeah. They always show you the preview.
Right.
It'll come right back. But yeah. I actually watched Soul the other night. Have you heard of that? It's an Oscar nominee.
Yeah, Pixar movie.
Yeah, it was great.
With Jamie Foxx.
Yeah.
Did you like it?
It was really sweet.
No, it kind of lost me after 10 minutes. And I love Pixar films. You know? But a lot of people said, but if you liked it, you're lucky, you know, because it's I love Pixar movies. I'm lucky. You know? Yeah, because you get to enjoy it.
It's true. Yeah, it was really sweet.
Yeah.
I did like get up and take a shower in the middle of it. And like my friend was still watching it. And then I came back and I don't know. I just have ants.
Did you miss part of it then?
I missed a little bit. I missed like maybe 10 minutes, 15 minutes.
Yeah.
It's fine.
Yeah. I don't know. They've got some movies playing in the theaters now.
Really?
Yeah, yeah. They're starting to have people in come into the theaters. And they also release them like with the streaming services, you know.
Yeah.
So I don't even know what movies are playing now, but whatever, you know. I mean,
sure.
There's a lot of good movies yeah, like on Hulu and Amazon and stuff, you
sure.
know. So that's pretty cool.
So many movies to like sift through.
Right.
So many. All the different. Yeah. And now they have Paramount Plus and right. Disney Plus and.
Yeah. And Peacock,
Amazon.
Which is NBC.
Yeah.
And, yeah. They've got a lot for sure.
It's wild.
All right. Well, our call is coming in.
Wonderful.
So let me bring up the notes here. And we're joined by Jess Norvisgaard, right, Jess? Good morning.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Hello.
Hey, how you doing? Is this Sam?
Good. Yes, Sam and Jen.
And Jen.
Hey, how you doing, Sam and Jen? How are you doing, guys?
Hey.
We're doing great, Jess. Thank you for calling in this morning. Where are you? Where are you this morning? What city?
Thank you for having me, man. I'm back here at home, Asheville, North Carolina.
Wow.
North Carolina. Is that a beautiful place? I mean, I've wanted to check it out.
I haven't. You're looking at me.
I've been. It's pretty. Yeah, got a lot of good beers. It's pretty eclectic. It's got a lot of different kinds. It's got a nice punk scene, a good music scene.
Right.
A lot of hikers and a lot of pretentious pricks. So it's got all of them, man.
Perfect. All of them. We love a mixing pot.
You've got a great combination there.
That's right.
I love that it started with, well, we have good beer.
That's the most important thing, is it does have good beer. And it really, really does. Like, we compete with Indianapolis to see who's the tops, man. But we probably pull out. We're like number one or number two in the country, man. So
wow.
We got it handled there.
What kind really? Of beer do you like? Are you an IPA guy or a wheat? Or
I am. Nope, IPA. I love IPAs.
Okay.
I like coffee beers, all the dark stuff too, man. And
yeah.
The fun part about Asheville is you just get all kinds of different kinds, man. You Belgians, all kinds of different crazy stuff.
That's where I'm at.
Yeah, pretty much IPA. Yeah,
I'm from Philly. A lot. It's a heavy IPA scene in Philly.
What's IPA?
India Pale Ale. It's like a very hopsy kind of, more of like a bitter flavor profile,
like ale or something.
Kind
of. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah. Yeah, I can't drink those.
I'm a Belgian gal, for
really?
Sure.
Really? I'm
yeah.
a Coors Light type of guy.
Oh,
well,
wow.
The most I'll go is Corona, you know?
It's literally like lemonade.
I know. It's got to be the lightest beer.
I love them, man.
Corona always smells like weed to me. Next time,
I'm a Corona fan.
Next
I'm
time you
Corona
open
fan.
Corona.
That's like my fallback.
Yeah, next time you open a Corona, think of the smell of weed.
I'm
telling you, it smells just like
it. Because
I
never realize it, and I drink it all the time.
That's probably why you like it.
Well, probably, yeah. There you go. See, she knows me already. Yeah. Jess, so you're a filmmaker, you're a director, a writer. Do you act as well in your films?
No, sir. I write and direct, man. That's it. I came from doing a lot of video marketing and being a camera operator, and I always wanted to write and direct, so it was time to do it.
Oh, cool. And how did you get into camera work?
Well, I went to film school. So ever since I was a kid, you know, I love movies, and I always wanted to make movies. So I went to film school and decided to, I was wanting to be a writer-director back then, but I decided to try to veer my career a little bit more towards the practical side and something that I could get working. But then I was just like, hell with this, it's time to make a movie and before it gets too late. And that's, you know, that's what we did.
Yeah.
Fair enough.
Awesome. Now, did you have to, do you find enough work where you are, or did you have to come to L.A.? How did it work for you?
I did come out to Los Angeles for a while. I did. I worked in some pretty crazy scenes down up there, I should say. But uh-huh. I went to New York very briefly as well.
Uh-huh.
And I have two beautiful daughters. I'm a single dad, so it was tough raising them there. So I came back to North Carolina and looked for, again, more practical work there. And I worked with, I did a lot of work with some great people down here and for hire work. But I saved some money and I got a little boost in some other areas and got some investors. And we decided to go ahead and just, let's make this feature and let's turn it. And now I'm getting ready to make the next one.
Sounds good. So let's talk a little bit about the feature. This was released, I understand, in 2019, January of 2019. And the film is called The Good Things Devils Do. And
yes,
this,
sir. Now, it was made in 2019, but released this year.
Oh, I see. Okay. So
it's a great title.
Yeah, it is. For a scary movie.
Last year, I apologize.
Yeah.
Thank you.
How did you get into the genre? Is that something you've always liked? Horror films?
Always liked. Yeah, I grew up on horror, man. I mean, it's my favorite genre. I'm a horror guy.
Yeah.
Absolutely, man.
What are you, what attracts you about it? Because, you know, I'm always trying to figure it out because I don't like these movies at all, you know. But, I mean, I like action movies, but I don't like the slasher films. I don't know why.
You don't
like
blood and guts?
Right. So I'm trying to figure out what attracts somebody to it, you know. So, Jess, go ahead.
Not a huge slasher fan. I certainly admire a lot of the slasher films. And the irony is I had Kane Hodder in my film, who's Jason Voorhees. But But I do like slasher, but I don't love slasher. Honestly, I like all kinds of horror. But what attracted me to it, frankly, is just it's hard to define it, but I have a love for violence, and I love it in film. Mm-hmm. You know, they say sex and violence is like being the lowest common denominator, but you know, it does well for a reason. I think there's a large demographic that likes it, and I just happen to be one of them.
Yeah, sounds good.
I'm not a violent person.
Right, but this is like catharsis, you know, for things like that. You know, it's like you get to see it in the movie.
It's also seeing like where the human mind can stretch to.
That's true.
You know, it's just another facet of how we work.
Yeah.
You know?
And with Devils, I really tried to combine, you know, it was a homage to the 80s horror film, which is what I grew up on and I loved. Crazy cuts, funny sequences, you know, just really kind of almost ragtag filmmaking. Now, this was not ragtag filmmaking. We had a small budget, but I had very good filmmakers with me. But we really did tip our hat to that campy style. But I also wanted to bring a very serious side into it, character-driven, you know, well-written kind of design behind it. But it was really interesting with this. We really wanted to bring some crazy, you know, almost campy vibe and marry it with this chaotic feel to the vampire and the villains who are just really, you know, savage,
right,
violent people who collided with this. Can't be, you know, Leave It to Beaver family almost. So it was kind of interesting in that sense.
Yeah. So what is the plot briefly? So you're saying it's like violence against an innocent family. How does it work exactly in the film?
Well, we think they're innocent, but they're every day, and they're not. We find out that they're not so innocent. But just like most of us, that they may look innocent, and may look sweet. But there are things going on beneath the veneer. So, you know, the plot is a criminal with his daughter in a small town criminal syndicate. He's played by the star of the film, Bill Oberst Jr., who brilliantly played Richard. He's really wanting to retire. This is, you know, we're going on some tropes here. And this is his last job. And this is going to be kind of in and out. All he's got to do is do a favor for his boss, and his boss is letting him walk. But, you know, they go to this house. They're going to rob this house and set up these people who they think they're not sure now. Right. Might be some smugglers, and they're going to try to set them up with the police and rob their money and frame them. And shit hits the fan when they go to either the wrong house or the house is, you know,
right.
Or it might be the right house, it might be the wrong house, but at this time, this family, the house they hit, we have another guy on the other side who he's wanting to start this museum of the macabre, and this happens to be on Halloween night, and one of the things he ordered happens to be the remains of a vampire that is an actual vital vampire once they remove the stake. So they're playing around with it, and then shit hits the fan, and you know, they run into that.
I love vampire films.
Do you?
I've always been so jealous of vampires.
Why is that? Because they live forever?
They get to live forever. And just, I love to also see how different creators portray vampires, you know, like just all the different rules in the vampire world. And
yeah. Have you been a vampire fan, Jess?
Well, yeah. I mean, I'm a vampire's world with my next film. I've got two on tap.
Oh.
One. I'm still gazing and seeing the interest in one, but it plays off of the world of the good things devils do on one of the particular characters. But I'm writing a werewolf now, and so I love vampires, werewolves, ghosts, zombies, all of them. I just love those traditional horror tropes.
Right. So you're natural for horror films, you know. I mean, there you go. You know, made. Yeah, you made for it. You know.
Yes, I appreciate that. Yeah, yeah, absolutely, man. I mean, this is what we do. I'm trying to. I'm a fan, so I'm trying to make a movie for the fans, you know. And one thing Devils does accomplish is it's not a boring film.
Yeah,
we roll into it pretty quick, hot and heavy.
Yeah,
it's got some violence, it's got some savagery, and it's got some, you know, a little bit of comedy sprinkled in there. But you know, it's a hard, fast film. And with the werewolves one, we're going to temper it back a little bit. We're going to bring a little bit of romance into this thing, I think. So, it's going to be a little bit of a love story, and I've got some plans for it. I think might be pretty cool. So, but I want to really bring a great werewolf film to this genre. That's the goal.
Right.
Aren't enough of them.
Do you have any favorite werewolf films that you've seen?
Well, for favorite werewolf films, you know, the Anthem werewolf film, the American Werewolf in London. I've had a mind block here. Yeah, American Werewolf in London, of course.
Right.
Dog Soldiers was okay. You know, there are a few of them. They're not.
Right.
I haven't seen many with The Howling. I love The Howling.
Right. You
know, The Howling was fun.
Classic.
Yeah.
Wolfen was good. You know, most of them are back in the 80s.
Yeah. That's true.
80s was a good time.
A lot of the
werewolves
today are pretty much it.
Yeah. Well, that'd be good if you bring back some of those, you know, after a while. And it sounds pretty cool. Now, when you put a film together, do you have to find a producer, or do you do the producing yourself too?
A little bit of both, but I had to find a producer. I went with someone who I knew was in the local area. His name is James Suttles. He works with Suttle Film, and we had done some work before on some short features, and I'd operated camera for him on some feature films. And a little bit self-driven, you kind of get the components together yourself. This particular time, I really relied on him to get things done while I was writing it, concentrating on the directorial aspects and getting the actors together and such. It was vital to me that we got Bill, we got Kane, we got Linnea Quigley. These are, you know, horror icons who I've watched for many years. So it's a little mix and match. Yeah, it's a little bit of both. But with Devils, I hired a producer.
Yeah.
The most important part is getting financiers. I'm looking for investors for my next film, and in the process of doing that and writing it now. And so that's really the most important thing, is getting the money, and then getting competent producers and filmmakers around you. Can't do it yourself. You got to have good people.
Now, the good things the Devils do. Where did you shoot that movie?
Brevard, North Carolina, small town USA. It was beautiful, beautiful, quaint little town, located probably around 30 miles north of Asheville.
Oh, nice. So it's in your neighborhood, pretty much. That's good.
Yeah, it was.
Very cool.
It was really cool little place. We found we scattered for locations and found that fit what we were doing perfectly.
Right.
We went with it.
Sounds good. Do you want to give credit to any of the actors in the film? Who you mentioned a couple names, but let's give them credit here so people can look for them in the movie.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I would love to. I'll tell you what. Let's start out with David Rucker III. He played Melvin. And we obviously have the big three, which were Bill Oberst, Linnea Quigley, and Kane Hodder. But we have actors who are, I believe, absolute risers. David Rucker III played Melvin. He had a very difficult role, a lot of dialogue, big role, and was phenomenal. We have Kelly Wilson Robinson, who came in and played Caroline, his sexy, goofy, airhead daughter, who was just driving him crazy. And she's a fast riser in this. A lot of people, I think she's got two more features getting ready that she's going to be in. And I think she's got a third one lining up, and they're interviewing her right now. Veronica Stoykova, who magnificently played Masquerade. She's doing a lot of projects right now, and look for her for sure. These are incredible actors. We have, Ian Patrick Mendez, who very briefly was Finn. He played the role of Finn, one of the bad guys. A lot of people ask me, who's that guy who played Finn? Well, it's Ian Patrick Mendez, and you got to look out for this guy. I actually have plans for him in the next feature. We have Mary Catherine O'Donnell, who is a sweet, very mousy, you know, woman in real life, but just played this, you know, ironically played the character named Mouse, who is savage in the film. Wow. And they've just done wonderful.
Yeah.
And who else am I forgetting? Let's see, that was seven. I want to make sure I'm up. Because I go through this list all the time, and sometimes going through this list, I overlook them. But
that's okay.
That's the gist. But no, they're wonderful. They're wonderful. I couldn't. Yeah. I mean, they were just spectacular, I think.
Right. And were you part of the casting process too?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Oh, the producer and I sat in, and we brought them in. We hammered it out, man. And, but yeah, absolutely. Final say, man. I mean, I was very particular about who is going to be in this and the whys. And, we dragged a few of them through the dirt, you know, David Rucker III and Mary Catherine O'Donnell, they had very demanding roles. And so we didn't make the process easy on them. So they earned every bit of it.
Sounds good. Jess Norvarsgaard, the film is The Good Things Devils Do. Where can people find the film, Jess?
They can find it on Vudu, Amazon. They can find it anywhere. That Google Play, let's see. They can find it pretty much anywhere that is not Netflix or Hulu. Okay. We're available everywhere. So really, you pick a platform, we're available in all of those places. And Redbox, Hulu, and Netflix are where you cannot find it. Everywhere else you can. You can find it on Amazon, Vudu, QB, PlayStation, all of those places. And we're out in the stores. You can order us or watch us on the VOD.
And
I have to give two shout outs if I don't mind. TJ Basham, I want to thank him, our mutual friend, for setting this up.
Right.
Appreciate you, TJ. And Volstater. Would love to see you guys look out for something called Volstater, VOLSTATOR. And that's me and a few of artists and some filmmaker friends of ours. And we're going to be doing an animated project here pretty soon and a lot more than that. So, and we just signed a deal with the Dead Cards. Going to be some merchandise that the Devils out there. So look out for the Dead Cards, Mark Roberts and Justin Boring, what they're doing with those. Is phenomenal. So you can have some Devils merchandise coming out. It's pretty cool, man. It's pretty cool.
Yeah, it sounds nice. Well, congratulations to you on that. It sounds like you're very proud of it.
Yeah,
it sounds
definitely.
Fascinating.
Yeah, I thank both of you guys. Thanks for having me.
Well, of course. And just if people want to find you, do you have social media, maybe a website for the film?
I do, and I apologize in advance. I'm really bad at social media. I need someone to help me on that. I do have a Facebook. The Good Things Devils Do has a Facebook. Jess Norvarsgaard and The Good Things Devils Do. We have an Instagram, which I need to get someone running that because I've not been well enough on that. I don't monitor that as well.
Yeah.
But I Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and I think we're going to get ready to have for a while, the good things devils do is mostly just a Facebook. But I think we're getting ready to have a website now. We're going to build a website now that we got merchandising deals coming in place. And then we have another one with local business up here. So, yeah, we got the website's coming.
Awesome. Awesome.
Amazing.
Well, just thank you so much for joining us this morning. Again, congratulations on the film. And more power to you. We're looking forward to the werewolf film as well.
I appreciate it. Thank you so much, Sam and Jen, for having me.
Thank you.
You're welcome. And take care, Jess. Bye-bye.
Thank you guys, too. All right. Bye-bye.
Bye.
I love hearing about actors who seem so different in real life than their characters.
Yeah.
It's like my favorite when you see like this like tiny quiet person and then they get on stage or in front of the camera and they're just completely
and there's
different.
Somebody else.
Yeah,
right?
I love it.
That's what acting's about, I think, right?
Yeah, definitely.
You don't necessarily need something that's tailored to who you are as a real person.
No.
You know?
No.
Yeah.
I love it.
I know. And there's sometimes there's like good combinations of people that you don't think belong in that part, and then they end up doing great, you know?
So great.
Like one I can think about is one actor that I didn't expect was Michael Keaton in Batman, for example, you know?
Yes.
You know, he's a comedic actor.
Yeah, a little goofy, quirky.
Right, exactly.
He stepped into Batman.
And he killed, you know? I mean, yeah. He did really well. So that's one. I'm trying to think of who else, you know. I mean, they have, you know, another movie I thought with the werewolf was the one with Robert Pattinson. What was it called? Something Blood or something?
True Blood?
Yeah, Twilight.
Yeah.
Thank you. Not True Blood. True Blood was a series, right?
Yeah.
On TV. But yeah, Twilight. Twilight had that too. I'd never seen it.
It's a very funny movie.
Yeah. Is it supposed to be funny?
No.
No, right?
I think it was like voted one of the worst movies of all time.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow, it did very well though, right?
Yeah, because everyone wanted to see it. And the books, yeah. I actually read the books. Oh, at that point okay. in my life, my sister was like, the books are amazing. So I actually read them and I admit I got caught up in the books.
Yeah.
I did.
Maybe that's why you didn't like the movie that much.
You should watch it and see for yourself.
What's bad about it?
There's just a lot. There are a lot of, I'll send you some of the TikToks that have like clips of it and then people imitating the clip of the movie. It's just really intense.
Really?
Yeah.
What is it, like cheesy or something?
It's so cheesy. Really? And it's not the actor's fault. It's definitely the director.
Really?
It's the director for sure. Probably. Whoa. I didn't say that.
Yeah, if you want to work in Hollywood, don't put people down.
I mean, look, I watched all of them.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I would watch them again.
No, I mean, that's your honest opinion. You know, we want to hear it, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The movie was fantastic.
Yeah, right. American Werewolf in London. Did you ever see that one that
no.
he mentioned? That's with a guy called, what was his name? I can't remember, but he used to do like a Dr. Pepper commercial. And
what was it called? Werewolf in London?
American Werewolf in London, right. What was his name? God. And it was a pretty good film, you know, actually for its time, the effects were good. Yeah.
David Naughton?
David Naughton, right.
Oh,
yeah.
John Landis is in it too.
Yeah.
Great. Wow.
Yeah, so.
Oh, Rick Mayall is in it.
Who's that?
He played Drop Dead Fred. Do you know that movie?
No, I don't.
It's one of my favorite movies of all time. It's
really?
About Phoebe Cates is in it, and she plays this a girl who grows up to be a woman, obviously, and she has an imaginary friend who comes back. When she's older, yeah. Okay. And he just causes all this chaos and disrupts her life, but really just teaches her this really big lesson. It's one of my favorite movies.
Really?
I love it. Yeah.
Wow.
It's a really good one.
So the werewolf movie is 1981, you said?
Mm-hmm.
Wow. That's a long time ago.
Can you believe that's like 40 years ago?
Wow.
The 80s feel like they were 20 years ago.
I know, man.
40 years ago.
I know.
You know?
I know.
Like, I know I'm still young, but I can still say 20 years ago.
Right,
and that
exactly.
feels weird.
It feels long, right?
Yeah, it feels real weird.
Yeah, like a long time ago.
Yeah.
20 years is a long time when you
it's
think
a long
about
time.
It, you know?
You know?
I mean, it doesn't seem like it, but it is.
Yeah, like if I get hit on by a 20-year-old, I'm like, you were 10 years old 10 years ago. You know, I was 10 years old 20 years ago.
Right.
23 years ago. 22 years ago. 22 years
But
ago.
You said you seem to be looking for those young guys, right?
I mean, sometimes. It depends. Depends.
What do you find in them? Is that like the way they look or... because they can't possibly have a lot to talk about, do they?
Sometimes, really? Yeah, sometimes. I mean, I definitely like... they also just like have like more respect for older women.
Okay.
You know, even if it's only like 10 or 12 years older. I don't know. I feel like they think they have something to prove.
Right.
So they're like, you know what I mean? Like they just, they act different. They act different. They're like more mature around me than, even if it's fake maturity, right. They're more mature and like polite and have more etiquette than the guys my age. The guys my age, like I just got sent an unsolicited dick pic yesterday.
Oh, you did?
Yeah.
Wow.
It was a guy I met on a dating site months ago. And then of course we did the whole like, let's exchange Instagrams and talk on there. And then, you know, it's just what I can't stand is when like the conversation just becomes them going, hey, you like once every 2 weeks for like the rest of time.
Right.
You know, I'm like, just we're either talk to me or don't talk to me, but don't text me. Hey, you at like 11 p.m. Right. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. We all know what's going on at 11 p.m. Like you got right. You're laying on the couch with your hand down your pants, like going bored
and going through their list.
Feeling
right?
Saucy. Yeah. Going through their list. And so, I kept ignoring his messages over and over again. This guy's my age. And so like, you know, once every 2 weeks, you know, once every 3 weeks, hey, you at like midnight, 11:30, 1 a.m. And I just never answered. And finally one day I was like, hi. And he was like, what are you up to? And I was like, I'm going to bed. And I was like, what's up? And he's like, you're cute. And I was like, that's cool. And he wrote a question mark. And he was like, you don't want my compliment. And I was like, it just doesn't mean anything at midnight. You know what I mean? I'm like, if you text me that at like 11 a.m., that might be different. Or if you just want to have a conversation, that might be different.
Right.
So
he was writing to you and you weren't answering, right? And
yeah.
He kept writing.
Yeah.
That's what I don't understand about guys. You know what I mean? On the one hand, I admire the persistence. On the other hand, if somebody tells me no and they're not interested,
yeah.
Fuck him, you know?
But honestly, if he would have messaged me at regular hours
right.
of the day, not like booty call hours, I might have been more responsive to him.
Right.
He was a good looking guy.
Right.
But you know what I mean? Like I'm... And it's always the guys who are like, oh, I'm looking for a relationship. If you're looking for a relationship, there's... Look, no one wants to play the game, but there's a game.
Right.
You know what I mean? There's right. a game. You text at regular hours. Don't text me at 1 o'clock in the morning, hey, you up? Or like anything like that. And so the other day, I wrote him back and he was like, I was like, what are you up to? I was like, oh, I'm doing this, da da da. What are you up to? And he was like, oh, I'm chilling. And I was like, that's cool. Like, what are you doing? And then he just sent me an unsolicited dick pic. Mm. And I was like,
so that's what he's doing.
Yeah, that's what he's doing. Himself. That's exactly why I hadn't responded to his 11 p.m. text messages. Like, this is so stupid.
It really
you know?
Is, you know?
Yeah.
But people are persistent, you know? I mean, the thing is that I tend to get the message right away, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And if someone's not interested, I'm not going to keep chasing them. I mean, the hell
right.
with it, you
But
know?
It's definitely, like, I don't know how much persistence it is, because persistence to me, like, by definition is consistency, but right. at the same time, persistence in that way seems more like it's persistent toward a person or maybe an two people. But I feel like he's just got like a list, like you said, like
right.
a list of his, all right, I'm going to text this. Like how many people did he send that pic to?
Right. Exactly.
You know, so many probably. Right. You're not just.
So he doesn't really care. I mean,
that's what I'm
what
saying.
It sounds like.
And
yeah.
that's how. It is all the time with yeah. guys my age since 25.
Yeah.
25 to now has all been the same.
Jeez.
Yeah.
So every age group sucks.
Every age group sucks.
Right.
And so when my friends are like, why are you wasting time with this younger dude? I'm like, he's actually like, I'm, it's hard too. Cause like, it's not like I'm really developing feelings or anything, but like, I'm like, all right, you want to talk to me? We'll see what's up. You know, they're like so much more respectful to me. You know, they're like afraid to make a wrong move.
Right.
Be seen as like a kid or whatever.
Right. They don't expect much or whatever.
Yeah.
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 Hmm. Very interesting.
You know?
Yeah.
They don't have their egos on as much when they're with an older woman.
Right. Whereas I'm sure at their age, they're probably not like that, you know, with girls women their age.
Yeah. Yeah. Definitely.
Huh. Very interesting.
It is, isn't it?
Yeah. I don't know. At that age, did I want an older woman? I don't remember. But often kids dream of fantasize about older women and stuff, you know, just a question of how old.
How much older, yeah, right? Totally. I know into a 20-year-old, like 30 seems like, whoa, right. She's 30.
Yeah.
People think as soon as you turn 30, you just suddenly like wrinkle up. Like people be like, oh my God, you look so young for your age. And I'm like, I'm 32. Like, yeah, relax, exactly. You know. People
deprived, like, yeah.
Yeah.
What the hell, man?
I know. Like 20-year-old women are always like, oh my God. Even 25-year-old women are like, oh my God, I didn't know you were 32. That's so crazy. And I was like, okay, like I'm supposed to apply for my AARP card as soon as I turn 30.
Yeah,
or
it's like, yeah, what's that supposed to mean anyway,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, exactly. I'm like, literally 20, you look no different at 30 than you do at 29 or 28.
Right.
Same, same, same.
Yeah. I do remember, though, when I was a kid, probably in middle school, I used to fantasize about my friend's mothers sometimes, you know?
Sure. Yeah, I had a friend who had a hot dad.
Yeah.
She had a really hot dad. I was like, you know, your dad's, all her friends were like, hey, hey, Mr. B.
Oh, my God.
And he was, like, so in love with his wife and everything. And
yeah.
We used to make jokes about tying her to a tree in the woods and leaving her for the birds or something.
Yeah.
Just as a joke, though, obviously.
Jeez.
Really, we got to get rid of Mrs. B.
Yeah.
She's got to go.
My God.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, that's just dating, sucks, man. It just sucks.
It didn't used to be, you know? I mean, it didn't used to be like that
at all.
That's
because people didn't have 25 people at their fingertips.
Right.
You know?
2,500, you mean?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I know.
What's funny, too, is on dating sites, when I see people that I know or have met and talked to before, I find that it's a thing that we swipe right on each other. And I feel like it's not because we're actually secretly interested or were the whole time. It's because, like, we just want to see if the other person swiped right on us. And then we'll just be like, hey, remember me? They're like, yeah, totally. I remember you. What's up? And you're like, not much. Just living in LA. What's up? They're like, yeah, me too. I moved here like 3 months ago. And then, like, that's it.
Right.
That's the whole thing.
Yeah. Well, usually if I see somebody, I know I swipe left. You know, it's like,
yeah, you're like,
I didn't see you.
Yeah, definitely.
You know, I mean, it would be like people that I knew, but not in that context, you know?
Sure.
And then suddenly, and you know what's funny is like we've had like relationship experts over the years at the station.
Mm.
It's amazing how many of them in their 40s, they still are not attached, you know?
Those who can't do teach.
Right?
You know? Yeah.
It's amazing. It's amazing to me. Yeah.
It sucks out there.
It really does, man.
Yeah, it does.
You know, I mean, I'd like to be positive about it, but we'll see now that we go out and stuff, you know, it's...
There's a difference between being positive, negative, and real, yeah, you know?
Yeah.
It's like, I know there's like decent people out there, whatever.
Yeah.
But...
But where are they?
Yeah, but where are they? You know?
Yeah. Oh, well, did you have a nice weekend?
What did I do? Yeah, I did. My friend had a one-woman show, Zoom play, which was really cool. It was like six women all did these like 10-minute one-woman shows. That was cool.
Zoom?
Yeah, my friend came over for that, and I cleaned my apartment. It looks really great.
Oh, well, congratulations.
Yeah. And then I went and I had some breakfast and coffee with my roommate yesterday.
Oh, sounds good. Nice. Yeah.
How was yours?
Mine was okay, you know, I mean, it was, like, quiet. My kids were busy, and everybody was busy. My friend was, like, Yeah, maybe we should wait a couple of days since you came back from the trip, you know, and you were exposed to people and stuff. Actually, I told him that, you know. Yeah. I said, because he's so sensitive about it, you know.
Sure.
I said, maybe you shouldn't be around me for a couple of days. So, you know, but then I said, you know, it's like ridiculous, you know. I mean, somebody who's sick, they know it. I don't know about you know, transferring it. But I thought, you know, if I didn't get sick from this trip, then I'm either lucky or it's overrated, you know?
Yeah.
Because in Arizona, nobody wears a mask, and especially in the vacation and stuff. I mean, like waiters do, people that work at stores do.
Sure.
But the tourists do not, you know? We still wore some every time we were with people and stuff. But then you're by the pool, you know, you're not really... wearing anything, and
I think it's fine by the pool and open space.
Yeah, you know, and stuff like that. But I thought still, you know, I mean, when you're around a lot of people that don't watch it, what's going to happen, you know? But I don't know. Nothing happened, so I'm glad, you know.
Good.
Glad I got out of that. But people have had it, you know. I mean, it really feels like they're imposing on us, you know, taking away our liberties. And that's what's scary, you know, because now with the talking about vaccine passports and all of that, you know.
Sure.
It brings back memories, you know, and of the Holocaust and stuff where people were asked to show their papers. They were not allowed if they didn't have it.
Yeah.
Whatever, you know. So, I mean, maybe it's overdramatic, but still, you know, I mean, we gotta do something about it. And nobody knows when it's going to be over, when we're going to consider it to be under control, you know.
Day
there's
by
no
day.
Answers.
Day by
no
day.
Answers, you know.
Nope.
So I'm just careful. I mean, I wear masks where people are expected to wear masks, but, you know.
It's just good. It feels good to be in the place we're at now in comparison to where we were at least.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know.
I mean, it was terrible. It was really terrible, you know. And amazingly, the economy did very well. And now they're telling you that don't expect the economy to continue being this way, you know, because it was unusual and all that stuff. And so now people are scaring me away from the stock market and stuff, you know,
sure, yeah.
with all this shit. But what are you going to do, you know? I mean, what, are you going to, like, listen to everybody and it'll make you crazy, you know?
Yeah.
Makes you nuts.
That's fair.
Yeah. I don't know. Well, and I hold Tesla stock, and just the other day in Texas, there was a deadly crash involving the Tesla. And apparently, what they can't understand, it was going on autopilot, but one guy was sitting in the passenger seat and the other in the back seat.
So no one was in the driver's
Nobody
seat
Nobody was
all.
In the driver's seat. I mean, what the hell is that?
Yeah, seriously.
Yeah, I mean, that's really trusting the car.
It's too new. That's the thing. People trust things so quickly.
Yeah.
I need, like, Tesla to have, like, 5 years under their belt.
At least,
at
right?
At least, yeah.
Yeah. And have, like, a spotless record, you know? No accidents.
Yeah.
Because even one life is not really worth this autopilot shit, you know?
No.
But I hope, yeah, so the stock is down today. I don't know, but.
Everyone's like, bye.
Yeah, let's bail out, right?
Yeah, see ya.
Yeah. I don't know, Jen. Life is getting very fucking complicated for me.
It is. It is complicated.
All right. Well, we are out of time.
All right.
And thank you all for joining us. Thank you, Jen, as always.
Thank you.
And we'll see you on Wednesday.
Bye.
Bye.
You're listening to Sam in the Morning with Jen, only on LA Talk Radio.